Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Skip Lacombe, and free agency is officially underway. We've got lots to talk about. No time to waste, so let's bring in, as we always do, Bob Harris, executive editor with FootballDiehards.com. Bob, how are we doing today?
I'm still breathing heavily. It's been hectic.
I know. All kinds of stuff. Lots of teams shelling out some big money. Lots of players being switched back and forth, so let's not waste any time. Big story of the day, Redskins opening up their billfold, spending $156 million today.
Albert Haynesworth.
In the first 5 hours of free agency. So let's go ahead and talk about that, Albert Haynesworth. What's that going to mean for the Redskins?
You know, I heard a good line on the NFL Network. What is a Haynesworth? Nine figures. $100 million. You know, you know, if there was any questions as to whether the current economic climate in the United States was going to have an impact on free agency, it certainly isn't the nation's capital. Wow, isn't that fitting? You know, it's a lot of money to spend. I'm looking at D'Angelo Hall getting $56 million. You know, the Haynesworth, he's worth a lot of money. Is he worth $100 million? That's a little above my ability to comprehend. Is D'Angelo Williams worth $56 million? If he is, Eddie Royal is sitting somewhere going, boy, I toasted that dude last year like he was a piece of old bread. I hope I get the same deal when I'm a free agent. I mean, that seems like a little bit of a reach. He did have some good interceptions for him, but seems like a little overpayment there. All in all, expectations are going to be high. Daniel Snyder's going to want something on his some return on that investment. Jim Zorn, better pay up.
Is this a surprise to you that the Redskins would be going out and spending this kind of money on two players?
Well, you know, I don't know how many amusement parks, how many of the Six Flags parks Daniel Snyder had to close to pull it off. But, you know, he's kind of reined it back in the last couple of years. Obviously, to me, it's a sign of his frustration at, you know, not getting the winner that he's so desperately wanted for so long there. And, you know, I think if he looks back at his own history, it often does not work out well for him. Just throwing the money at the problem has not been the answer always. Albert Haynesworth, though, he takes up two guys every play, three guys some play. You know, it's hard to argue with acquiring him, even if you're not sure that he's worth that much money, or anyone's worth that much money for that matter.
Absolutely. Well, the Redskins are definitely making some moves during this free agency session to go ahead and secure up their team. They've been sputtering a bit over the past couple of years. Hopefully this will kind of get some stuff moving to them together. Plus the 1-2 punch with D'Angelo Hall. He's had some troubles in the past. Do you think he's going to be able to keep himself clean in Washington?
You know,
in
he seems
nation's
to do
capital.
Okay. Yeah, he seemed to do okay there. You know, last year after he moved there from Oakland, you know, he had obviously the big issues in Oakland. Obviously, didn't get along with the coaching staff. Nor did he get along with the coaching staff in Atlanta. But I'll give him a pass on that one because the coaching staff in Atlanta, led by Bobby Petrino at the time, really wasn't anyone getting along with them. And certainly, so you know, to fault them there. But and in Oakland, it was a dysfunctional situation. But you look at his attitude. You know, he's one of those. You know, he's a very talkative guy. Doesn't like to take hard coaching very much. We'll see how it plays out. Jim Zorn, again, putting this money out there is going to put the expectations on him. He's going to need guys like Haynesworth and Hall to deliver. Every time I look up at a TV on a Sunday, I see D'Angelo Hall getting burned. It worries me. But, again, he is kind of a playmaker. They let Sean Springs go, so that kind of tells you where they're at. They've made the commitment.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers the Redskins. That's the big story of the day with $156 million spent in the first 5 hours. But that's certainly not the only story going on. Let's move on to Kellen Winslow. He's going to be trading in his Browns jersey for a Bucks jersey.
Yeah, you know, kind of a, I guess it's surprising that it came so fast and without much warning, but not really surprising. The new regime in Cleveland comes in. George Kokinas and Eric Mangini, they're obviously trying to set a new tone. Looks like they're going to get a couple draft picks. The speculation is they're getting a second round this year, a fifth round next year. You know, it seems like a pretty good deal. I think Winslow needed a fresh start. I think I talked to him, pretty good conversation with him last May. And, you know, he's a very tense guy, very intense and tense, and very cautious in his talking. And I noticed today when he did his press conference in Tampa, he seemed like a totally different guy, very much at ease. Seemed to be very happy with where he was, very happy with the new coaching staff. He's familiar with the tight ends coach there, Alfredo Roberts. He's also came in the league at the same time as Luke McGowan, who's expected to start at quarterback for the Buccaneers this year. So he's got a little level of comfort there. The Bucs also today, Antonio Bryant signed his franchise tender, meaning he's there this year. That gives him a pretty good, 1-2 punch on the outside. They let some people go this week. Ike Hilliard, Joey Galloway gone, Warwick Dunn gone. they're obviously taking a new direction, and the Soldier may help them lead that way. He like I said, he was really relaxed, really seemed at ease with the deal, admitted to past mistakes. And, you know, he didn't get along all that well, you know, with the previous regime there. The new regime, obviously, you know, leery of some of his antics and maybe some of the injury issues that he's had and illnesses he's had. I think the next question is, do the Browns just keep cleaning house? Do they go ahead and retain Braylon Edwards? They got to decide on him. Are they going to extend him or try to trade him? And there's quite a bit of talk about that today, too. But they made the big move getting rid of Winslow. I think the Bucs make out pretty well on this deal.
Absolutely, and both people can be seen making some good moves. You can tell both the Buccaneers and the Browns wanted to make some serious changes in this offseason. Browns are going to be able to get some picks out of this. The Bucs have let a lot of their people go. Anybody who was wearing a Bucs jersey last year going to be able to find a home?
You know, Jeff Garcia, I believe, will at some point. Work done really hasn't come out and said one way or the other. Ike Hilliard does want to continue playing. Joey Galloway does want to continue playing. He'll obviously have to show another team a little more than he showed last year when, you know, the foot injury kept him out essentially all year and made it hard for him to practice. I think Hilliard could maybe contribute. Not sure about Galloway or Dunn if the desire is still there. You know, Derek Brooks was also let go. I believe, you know, a veteran like that, a proud veteran like that, is going to want to come back maybe even in the same division and have a little axe to grind against the team that he contributed to for so long and so valiantly. Might have a little bit of an edge there.
And it seems, too, that the Bucs really came out and wanted to make it clear that they weren't getting rid of these people because they didn't think they were successful or had a place, but they really are trying to go ahead and move forward and build a different team in Tampa Bay.
You know, they're doing that. You know, I got to tell you, every time I see Raheem Morris, the new head coach, talk, I get a little bit nervous. I'm not sure how media savvy he is. And, you know, obviously the players like him. I don't want to give the wrong impression here. But, you know, he may be, you know, at 32 years old. And, in fact, Kellen Winslow mentioned today. He said when I met him, I thought he was a player. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was just another player. But, you know, he's going to have to go. He's got a little bit of polish to put on him. I thought he's been a little rough in both press conferences, including the one announcing these moves. Seems a little defensive at times and a little herky-jerky. I'm sure he'll pick up the pace, but it's never easy to let guys like that go. I mean, pillars of the community kind of guys, when you're talking about Brooks and Dunn, that's definitely not an easy move to make.
Absolutely. Sage Rosenfeld's going to be heading to Houston next year. Is that going to be able to help out the dynamic
down?
From
Houston to Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sorry, to Minnesota. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, you know, he's going to get a compete. They waived Gus Frerotte today, no big surprise. So he'll be competing with Tarveris Jackson. I think what's interesting is this kind of has been a two-year process. They wanted to trade for him, you know, before the draft, for Rosenfeld before the draft last year. Couldn't get a deal done. Ended up getting it done this year. You know, while I think they need an upgrade at the position, I know Brad Childress has been an admirer of Rosenfeld and thinks he can, you know, coach him up a little bit. You know, the career numbers, you know, a little bit kind of tell a different story. Mm-hmm. Who knows what he'll do with a chance to start. But basically, you know, Childress, assuming Rosenfels moves in as a starter, is banking his coaching future in Minnesota on a career backup. And, hey, more power to him. I hope it works out well. I hope Tarveris Jackson makes a fight of it. It is worth noting that they pretty much paid Rosenfels number two money. They're not paying either of those guys frontline money. So, you know, they're going to have a situation where if either of them comes on strong, secures the job, somebody's going to want more money at some point.
Yeah, both of them is going to be able to play for their spot on the team. It seems like it's been a while too since the Vikings have really had a good franchise quarterback. Do you think Sage might be that guy?
You know, I think you watch him and he makes, you know, he plays very good like about three quarters of the snaps, and about a quarter of the snaps he just comes up with some bad mistakes at the wrong time. They seem to be at the worst time. You know, again, 29 career interceptions, 30 career touchdown passes in 8 seasons. You know, I'd hate to be banking my future on him, but hey, he's athletic, he's tough. If he can cut down on the mistakes and they can coach him up a little bit, he can contribute. I still say the same thing about Tarveris Jackson, though. And when you look at the supporting cast, you know, when you've got Adrian Peterson there, that takes a lot of pressure off the run, off the passing attack, and there's some decent receivers developing there. Bernard Berrien is developed pretty well as the season wore on, and Vincente Shanko, at the tight end, he came on pretty strong as the year wore down. So I think there's talk that, you know, they're in the mix for some of the big name, high profile wideouts on the market right now. If they add another weapon to that mix, they'll be pretty formidable. So, hey, I don't want to rule anything out. I'd hate to be the guy banking on Sage Rosenfels to help me keep my job.
New England Patriots added running back Fred Taylor to their roster. That's a good deal for them. Where do you think that's going to go ahead and let them shake out as far as next year goes?
You know, I love the move. I mean, I think, you know, I agree with Fred Taylor, who believes he has a couple years left in his legs. And, you know, it kind of goes along with New England's, you know, recent tradition they've kind of established. You go back to Antoine Smith, Corey Dillon, Sammy Morris, Lamont Jordan, bringing in the veteran kind of power guy as a compliment. You know, right now they're not saying much about what the roles might be. I believe Lamont Jordan will be moving on as a free agent. So it looks like kind of a Taylor-Maroney split. And how they end up splitting will be decided a lot on Maroney's health. And maybe, you know, with a good veteran around him, maybe that'll end up helping Maroney over the long haul. You know, he seems to, you know, he's a very talented runner, Maroney, but he seems to sometimes not have the focus and not have the intensity he needs. Maybe Fred Taylor can lend him to that while he's giving a little production. Corey Dillon was great guns there. Antoine Smith had his days there. And, you know, and even Morris and Lamont Jordan showed how a veteran can be a solid contributor there. So I expect Fred Taylor's going to be a solid contributor for New England. Not sure if he's a frontline fantasy prospect anymore. Wouldn't go that far. But you know, he will be a guy that you want to look at later on in your draft. So it's definitely a guy worth watching. I think it's a really good move.
One other question, Mark, up in New England, too, is who's going to be starting? It looks like Tom Brady, for all intents and purposes, is the starter of that team, but still depending on if Matt Castle can ink his way in there or how that's all going to play out to see how these backs and receivers are going to be utilized.
Yeah, I think it's all, you know, the quarterback situation is all depends on Brady's health. You know, they're really, you're hearing a little bit more, they're talking up kind of the progress he's making, which maybe leads me to believe they're trying to, you know, increase the value of Castle on the trade market a little bit. You know, whatever is decided, and we may not know until, you know, it may not play out maybe before the draft, but I suspect it won't play out until later when the workouts begin and we get closer to training camp and they really feel secure about what's going on with Brady, then we may see some movement with Castle.
Titans were able to re-ink Kerry Collins. How's that going to play out next year?
I think that's a great move for them also. You know, I mean, the notion of having to depend on Vince Young seems, you know, obviously a little bit dicey. Young had all the mental issues, the health issues, the maturity issues, and Kerry Collins has had all those, I think, about 20 years ago. So, you know, he came in, he had an 80.2% passer rating. It was the third highest of his career. He threw for 2,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, good game manager. And most importantly, he took him well into the playoffs. You know, I think they're going to roll the same way. I think they need a little help at wideout. Looks like they may let Brandon Jones get away. Justin McCarron's may get away. You know, they need to revamp their receiving corps. They've been discussed as possible destination for some of the lower level, I would say, free agent wideouts. But they're going to have to bust a move and get him some help in the receiving game. But their rushing attack is strong, and that really helps Kerry Collins' game quite a bit.
Well, the Titans putting some more confidence behind Collins. What does that really mean for Vince Young, you think? I mean, I still haven't seen his mom call for the press conference. Still waiting for that, so.
You know, Vince Young is going to have a hard time, you know, regaining confidence, sounds like, in the locker room. I mean, you know, everyone says the right things, but, you know, obviously the things that went on there last year, you know, disappeared, the suicide that wasn't a suicide, you know, hey, but Terrell Owens bounced back from one of those pretty darn well, so. I think as long as Kerry Collins is there, you know, he gets at least another year. They signed him for 2 years, first year's guaranteed. I suspect he, you know, they would like maybe that first year to be his only year and maybe get Vince Young in. They have a substantial investment in him. But they also seem pretty eager to keep Chris Sims, also a free agent. They've been talking to him. Nothing's getting done yet. But, you know, it seems to me their eagerness to keep both Collins and Sims speaks volumes for what they're thinking of Vince Young's long-term future.
In the AFC West, the Broncos also making a bunch of big moves today, picking up Kurell Buckhalter, J.J. Arrington, and Jabbar Gaffney. How are those three players going to play into the dynamic in Denver next year?
You know, if you believe the agent for both Arrington and Buckhalter, that his two guys, Buckhalter is going to go in as the featured guy, and Arrington's going to come in as a change of pace. I find it hard to believe that guys like Ryan Terrain and Selvin Young, and even Peyton Hillis, who played pretty well last year, but is actually a fullback. But, you know, they're all going to have something to say about it. Terrain's coming off a pretty serious knee injury, had the elbow injury early in his rookie year last year. So, you know, he is still an unknown commodity. A lot of people thought he had a lot of potential, but he never really got to show up because of the injuries. You know, Buckhalter's history is also, you know, pretty much marred by injuries. He's missed a lot of time. A lot of people never thought he would be able to play again after a couple of knee injuries that he had. So, you know, hey, he's a big, powerful runner, showed a lot of stuff this year, you know, had some long gainers that surprise people. J.J. Arrington started coming into his own. You know, he'd never really established himself in Arizona, is what they expected. His speed, you know, that he demonstrated in college at Cal never really translated to pros, but he finally seemed to be getting it last year, made some legitimate contributions to the Cardinals. I think he could do the same in Denver. Seems to me that Josh McDaniel kind of has a plan going in there and kind of knows what he wants, and those are part of it. Also brought in Jabbar Gaffney, a former Patriot who played for McDaniel and is very familiar with the offense. They really needed a solid number three receiver to work behind Brandon Marshall and Royal. So I believe that the Jabbar Gaffney locked that down. And he's a very talented playmaker. Had a little bit of trouble holding on the ball at times last year. I think one drop in particular people remember against the Colts kind of cost him a game, a key game at a bad time. So, you know, he's had some issues, but he's been productive in the role that's been asked of him in New England. I think he'll do the same in Denver.
World's worst team making a big change today, too. Maurice Morris picked up by Detroit. How do you think that running back's going to go ahead and play out for the Lions?
You know, there was actually some talk that the Lions might be trying to get Derek Ward. Whoever they want, what they're looking for is someone to share the load with Kevin Smith. You know, Morris has been sharing the load in Seattle for quite some time, and sometimes pretty effectively. He, too, seems to struggle with injuries. Kevin Smith got beat up, though, a lot last year, so I think they're just trying to keep, you know, keep as healthy a stable as they can. I think both those guys are capable and productive of being productive backs. You know, if I had to choose between the two, I think Kevin Smith looked very talented last year. As the team improves, he'll get better as long as they improve quickly enough to fit within his window. Morris already a veteran, so, you know, hey, they're going to combine. They're a solid duo, but not high-end guys from a fantasy perspective, just because of the team they play on for right now.
Yeah, how hard is it? I was going to touch on that. How hard is it for to sell the Detroit Lions right now? How hard is it for them to go out and get these big-name players to come in and try to give a chance on turning around a franchise like that?
You know, I think big-name players, you know, that's hard to do. I mean, money talks in the end, but, I mean, so does 0-16. So, you know, you look at guys, I mean, I heard Rex Grossman the other day saying, I'd love to go to Detroit. I'd love to play with Calvin Johnson. And they do have selling points. Like, you know, Calvin Johnson, they have one of the most talented receivers in the league, certainly. But, it, you know, it's just when you've got a guy even like that, it's just hard to be productive. And, at this point, it looks like they'll roll with Dante Culpepper as their starting quarterback. That seems to be the widespread belief with Scott Linehan moving in as the offensive coordinator. They've had success, Culpepper and Linehan, together in Minnesota. And so, you know, I think it is a hard sell. I wouldn't want to be, you know, Jim Schwartz trying to push on guys. But, you know, the one thing I will say is Schwartz is a very sharp guy. Players really connect with him. And so, you know, he is going to be a selling point for the team and a team that sorely needs a selling point or two.
Well, and the number one selling point is they can only go up from there, right?
By golly.
All right. Still waiting on news from Kurt Warner. How close are we to getting a deal done in Arizona?
You know, it seems like he's really botched this whole thing, you know. His agent's been doing a valiant job saying, many teams are interested. We will look at all our options. And every time he says that, Warren says, yeah, I want to play in Arizona or nowhere else. But I want $10, $12 million a year to do it. Well, today's deal for Kerry Collins was about $8.5 million a year, so that's not good news for Warner. You know, that kind of lowered the market a little bit. Warner is out talking today, trying to drum up business. Caught him on ESPN a short time ago, suggesting that there's another NFC West team, wouldn't say which one, that had some interest in him. You know, then that may be, you know, I'm not going to call him a liar or anything. But, you know, this whole situation, he's handled poorly in that, you know, why would another team go in and bid on him when essentially they know they're negotiating for him against the Cardinals? It's, you know, he really doesn't have a realistic desire to play somewhere else, doesn't want to move his family. Wants to make as much money as he can because he knows he's only going to play two more years. He started playing the Anquan Boldin card today. Well, I might take a little less if you make sure to keep Anquan Boldin. Well, I don't think the two in the team's minds are related. So, you know, hey, he's going to stay in Arizona, whatever everyone else says. You know, oh, we're going to go visit. We're going to talk to everybody. We're listening to all offers. I believe that is not actually the case, and they're just waiting for the Cardinals to come up with that right number.
All right, well, I'm sure that'll probably be settled here in the next couple of weeks, too. Another interesting story, Hushman Zada has not yet really figured out where he wants to go, or has he? Apparently he was texting a Philadelphia radio station earlier saying he'd be interested in playing in Philly.
You know, you got to hand it to T.J. Hushman Zada. Wherever he is, he makes it sound like that's the best place in the world. So, yes, he's been pushing himself on to Philadelphia. He's done that a couple times. Did the same thing with the Minnesota when he was mentioned there. Has done the same thing with the Giants. Has said the same thing. He's in visiting Seattle today. You know, hey, he's looking to cash in. He's 31 years old. He needs a big contract to finish out his career. He's going to get it, and he's doing a heck of a job. Maybe Kurt Warner should take some lessons of beating the drum and keeping interest high. I think he's doing a great job, and, you know, texting the local media, getting on ESPN, and, you know, saying which teams you'd really want to play for, and singling out their positive attributes and really pumping it up. I think he's doing a great sales job, and I'm sure his agent appreciates it greatly, much more so than Mark Bartlestein, Kurt Warner's agent.
Yeah, I appreciate that, too. It's kind of refreshing to see a player out there who will straight up tell you where he wants to go, what he wants to do, how he's feeling. I mean, he's not holding out for money. He's not trying to play a smoke and mirrors game. I mean, he's just out there, and he's promoting himself. He's the PR guy for himself.
You know, I keep saying, you know, just in hard times, smart people are people who get ahead. I mean, it always happens. And guys like him who are smart enough and have the savvy to understand how to work the media and get a little bit, they're, you know, he's the squeaky wheel is going to get the grease in this case, and he's made sure that he's on everybody's radar and that he's willing to go to these places and willing to work hard to be there. So, hey, I think it's a great plan.
Another player who is garnering some surprisingly high interest is Nate Washington. Where do you think he's going to end up? Looks like he was talking with the Lions earlier today.
Yeah, it sounded, you know, the Lions sounded like they were going to try and keep him from leaving Detroit. I haven't heard anything since then, so maybe they didn't succeed. But, you know, he's been mentioning the Rams, the Vikings, the Buccaneers, the Titans, the Giants. I mean, every team that needs a receiver has talked to Nate Washington. And, you know, I think as you know, he's shown some big playability. I'm wondering if he's not the guy that somebody's going to pay too much for this year. But you know what? There's always those types, the Bobby Engram type of guy who can, you know, maybe, you know, down the road kind of become a solid contributor. Maybe they see Nate Washington as that, you know, a solid slot kind of guy. You know, I don't see it. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks like he'll get a chance to prove me wrong. There's certainly more than enough interest.
You are listening to the FootballDiehards.com podcast. Got a few more minutes here with Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. A big release earlier this week, Marvin Harrison let go by the Colts.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we all saw it coming. You know, they were trying to keep him. They were trying to keep him on. You know, keep him on, get him to renegotiate. He finally got to the point where he basically said, "Hey, look, I don't. You know, I'm not going to take less money. You know, his cap hit was going to be $13 million. They couldn't keep him at that." Went in for a last ditch meeting with the owner Robert Irsay. Jim Irsay couldn't get something done. So he's going to move on. Does anyone really want him? I thought it was interesting that, you know, as the release was about to happen, the reports out of Philadelphia suggested Donovan McNabb was no longer so interested in talking about a new contract until he saw what the team did in free agency and how they improved the offense. And you have to wonder if his old Syracuse teammate is someone he'd like to have on board with him. There's also been some talk the Dolphins are interested. Obviously, Lavernius Coles comes up in that conversation since he is good friends with Chad Pennington, and you know Bill Parcells is very familiar with him. So, you know, I think Harrison's going to have a hard time. You know, you've been playing in that same offense in that same spot. You know, they always used him in that same spot. You know, you have to wonder how easy it's going to be for him to go in and adapt to a new scheme and a new place. And, you know, he's not the most outgoing of guys and how he's going to mesh in a locker room. There's a lot of questions with Marvin Harrison. My expectations are not high. Even if he lands somewhere, my expectations would not be high for him.
San Diego Chargers fans everywhere are holding their breath, too, waiting for word on LaDainian Thomas. And what's the latest there?
You know, A.J. Smith, the general manager, came out the other day and basically said, you know, we're not saying nothing. Mum is the word. But the talks have been ongoing. They say there is no deadline. Maybe working both in the Chargers' favor and against the Chargers is the salary cap went up a fair amount. You know, there's some speculation to, you know, now that the salary cap's gone up $4 or $5 million, is LaDainian Tomlinson going to want to sit there and take a pay cut and watch Darren Sproles make more than him? Have we come to that kind of issue? And that may be an issue. There have been rumors out there, Pro Football Talk's thrown it out, that Tomlinson's been very reluctant to take, you know, a lower offer. So, you know, at some point he'll either take a lower offer or he's going to force them to trade him or release him. I don't see it happen anytime soon. Some of the more cynical people out there would note that Chargers have a bit of a season ticket sales drive going right now, and perhaps they'd don't want to make any moves with LT until after they've sold as many tickets as they can. And that sounds unreasonable to me.
No.
But yeah, we'll have some resolution, I would say, sometime in the next few weeks. And it's wide open. It could go either way. It all depends on LaDainian Tomlinson. Will he take less money? He stays. If he doesn't, I think he can force his way out of there.
Assuming Tomlinson and San Diego can't make a deal happen, who do you think is most likely to be able to pick up LT?
Oh, I think a lot of people would be willing to pay a fair amount of money. I can only
sky's the limit. There's 31 other teams you'd like LT on roster.
I can imagine Al Davis currently rubbing his bony little hands together, imagining the possibilities. And that's a guy who's really, talk about a guy who's really put a hurt on the Raiders the last few years. Wouldn't Al Davis love to give those Chargers a taste of that back? So.
You want to talk about igniting a rivalry that's already already pretty hot. You want to see LT in gold or in silver and black.
That would be most cool indeed.
I disagree. I'm a Chargers fan. Anyway, Lavernius Cole is also chatting with the Bills. Do you think he's going to end up in Buffalo?
No, I think he's going to play. I think he could end up back with the Jets. I don't think anything's ruled out. I think it is interesting that basically, he kind of forced their hand last year and made him kind of guarantee his money this year. And now he doesn't want it, $6 million. So apparently he thinks quite highly of himself and not as highly of the Jets. So, hey, new coaching staff coming in there, but the same offense. So if I was, if I was an older receiver who was starting to have some injury problems and, that became more of an issue and I had a guaranteed $6 million waiting for me, I think I might be tempted to stand my ground and put up with another year in New York. But Lavernius Coles has always been a different kind of guy, and that's not going to change. He'll test around, and my guess is somebody could use a good, solid veteran. And again, I keep thinking Miami, where he could be reunited with his old buddy Chad Pennington. They really are close and really have a good vibe together, so I think that's the most logical destination.
Here's your obligatory Brett Favre reference. Is he still retired?
As far as we know, Brett Favre still retired, still as of this minute.
Okay, but although we have got about 3 or 4 more minutes left in the show, we may get to break that before the end of the show. All right, to Cowboy Land, what's going on with T.O. and the Cowboys? They may be looking for a backup quarterback. Talk a little bit about that.
I just was thinking how juicy it would be. Garcia's out on the market, Jeff Garcia, and if you think back to the history, you look back a few years ago, they played together in San Francisco, and Terrell kind of badmouthed his arm, and then they were close together in Philadelphia, and Terrell came out and kind of, wondered about if Jeff Garcia didn't have maybe an alternative male lifestyle, and basically called him gay, and I think Garcia has never taken kindly to that. Garcia, who is, by the way, married to 2004 Playmate of the Year, he's done quite well for himself in that regard, and I just think it would be great. A great move, and Fort Worth Star-Telegram staffer Randy Galloway suggests it would be a great diversion, a genius diversion, to get Terrell Owens' focus on somebody other than Tony Romo. He would pick mercilessly on Garcia. He would never leave him alone, and everyone else could go about their business like happy campers.
Wouldn't that be an interesting dynamic, though, in Cowboys' locker room?
It would be a stroke of genius by Jerry Jones like we've never seen.
You talk about playing chess as far as with your players. You're bringing in a guy simply to be a scapegoat to be able to get Terrell to maybe get off of your quarterback's back. It could be brilliant. It could all implode upon him. I don't know. It should at least be interesting.
I think the odds are 50-50 it'll implode anyhow. So.
Also, many women's hearts broke today. Many men's hearts broke today. Sorry, ladies. Tom Brady is married. Sorry, guys. Giselle Bundchen is also now married.
Yeah, I'm just thinking most of us didn't have really that good of a shot with that. Not being 6'5" and very handsome and
millions of dollars in the bank.
I guess the coolest thing is she makes more money than him.
Yeah. Well, and the basic reason I wanted to bring this up is I just wanted to have an excuse to look at pictures of Giselle for a little while I'm doing research.
I just keep them up on the wall. It's constant research for me.
Oh, I like it. Maybe save it as your backdrop on your computer.
Of course.
All righty. Well, any other big names, big moves we're not talking about?
I think we've covered the game, but there's a lot of minor moves. If you those looking for to play catch up, every night I'm posting a roster move roundup, kind of covers all the moves of the day. If you want to catch them in real time, hit the news and views page. We've got probably 40, 50 updates up so far today, kind of covering things, the to and fro, the movement of the players, the visits, the signings, the releases. It's all there waiting for you. Hit the site.
All that information can be found at footballdiehards.com. We have been talking with Bob Harris, senior editor for footballdiehards.com, and this has been the footballdiehards.com podcast. We'll catch you next week. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you, Skip.